What does it mean when someone asks, are you more French or more Lebanese? For Amin Maalouf, the answer is simple yet profound, both. This seemingly straightforward response challenges our fundamental understanding of identity in an increasingly interconnected world. Identity isn't a single fixed attribute, but a complex tapestry of affiliations that evolves throughout our lives. Each of us carries a unique combination of religious beliefs, nationalities, languages, cultural traditions, and personal experiences that makes us irreplaceable and impossible to categorize simply. This complexity isn't just theoretical. It's the battleground where modern conflicts begin and end, where personal journeys unfold, and where our collective future will be determined. Imagine a Serbian man who marries a Muslim woman. Overnight, his perception of religious and national identity transforms permanently. Or consider a Sarajevo resident who proudly called himself Yugoslav in 1980, became emphatically Muslim during the war, and now identifies as a Bosnian European. These aren't betrayals of some true identity, but natural evolutions as circumstances change. Our identities comprise countless elements: religious affiliations, nationalities, professions, languages, family relationships, and shared experiences. While not all these allegiances carry equal weight, none is entirely insignificant. The hierarchy among these elements isn't fixed, it shifts with context and time. You might prioritize your religious identity during worship, professional identity at work, and national identity during international sporting events. Throughout history, people have tried to reduce identity to a single overriding allegiance, whether nation, religion, or class. This simplification has fueled countless conflicts. When we reduce others to a single aspect of their identity, we deny their humanity and complexity. It's often how we look at others that imprisons them within their narrowest allegiances or sets them free. Identity is constructed throughout life, shaped by family beliefs, cultural rituals, and inherited fears from early childhood. Our first identity wounds often come from school experiences, being mocked for our economic status, physical traits, religion, or cultural differences. These childhood wounds, like being teased for bringing ethnic food to school, often persist into adulthood. Attacks on one's religion or culture feel like attacks on one's entire self. People tend to cling most strongly to whichever part of their identity is under threat. When communities face humiliation through economic, political, or cultural marginalization, they become susceptible to those who exploit their grievances. Fear can transform ordinary people into perpetrators of violence, convinced they're defending against existential threats. People with mixed heritage, whether Serbian-Croatian, Hutu-Tutsi, or Franco-Algerian, who embrace their dual identities, rarely engage in ethnic violence. These frontier dwellers can either bridge communities or, if they reject their diversity, become the most aggressive attackers of what they wish to erase in themselves. We've all become migrants in some sense. Even those who haven't left their homeland often don't recognize it due to rapid change. A farmer in rural India with a smartphone now has more global connectivity than a 19th century London merchant. The migrant's experience epitomizes modern identity challenges. When identity is reduced to a single affiliation, migrants face an impossible choice between origin and adopted country. Their relationship with both places remains complex: rejection and guilt about what's left behind, hope and apprehension about where they've landed. Most migrants initially try to blend in as natives. When they fail due to accent, appearance, or name, some proudly emphasize their differences, while others violently contest the host society's values. Neither extreme succeeds. The wise path avoids two oversimplified views: seeing the host country as either a blank slate or a fixed entity demanding complete conformity. A country is a living document being continuously written, with history that demands respect, but a future open to change. True integration requires reciprocity. The more you steep yourself in the host country's culture, the more you can steep yourself in your own. When confronting violence in the Muslim world, observers often question whether Islam is fundamentally incompatible with liberty and modernity. This perspective ignores history's complexity. Islam historically demonstrated a remarkable ability to coexist with others. In late 19th century Istanbul, the Ottoman capital contained a majority of non-Muslims, something unimaginable in European cities of the same period. Only in 17th century Amsterdam or later England did different attitudes emerge closer to modern conceptions of liberty. The Muslim world, once a leader in tolerance, now lags behind as its principles have been revised downward rather than updated to meet contemporary expectations. Between the 15th and 19th centuries, the Arab world stagnated while the West advanced, but religion was more victim than cause. The West's extraordinary revolution, scientific, technological, industrial, and moral, established the foundations of today's world. When modernity bears the mark of the other, people often assert their difference through symbols of tradition. Even in France today, many speak of globalization as catastrophic, seeing it as Americanization threatening their culture. If Westerners feel this way, imagine the reactions of non-Western peoples whose every step for generations has been accompanied by defeat and self-betrayal. What makes people suddenly emphasize their religious identity? This shift emerged from communism's collapse, the West's visible social problems, and the disappearance of traditional political alternatives. The resulting ideological vacuum created space for religious identities to resurge. Consider a young Arab university student today. With Marxism discredited and Arab nationalism corrupted, Islamism offers identity, spirituality, and simple answers to complex realities. Yet this creates a false choice between religious fundamentalists and the despotic powers they oppose. "Men are more the sons of their time than of their fathers," wrote Mark Bloch. A teenager in Tokyo may have more in common with peers in Toronto than with their grandparents. While we maintain our vertical heritage from ancestors, our horizontal heritage from contemporaries grows stronger. This creates a paradox. We assert differences precisely because we're becoming less different. Religious identity serves as both anchor and bridge, rooting people in tradition while connecting communities across borders through shared beliefs. Identity, like a panther, kills whether persecuted or ignored. Yet it can be tamed through careful observation and understanding if we want to prevent future cleansings. Every individual should identify both with their country and with our world. Each person should see identity as the sum of various affiliations rather than elevating one above others. Those with different cultural backgrounds must embrace dual affiliation, remaining loyal to their origins while adopting their new culture. Societies must acknowledge their multiple historical affiliations through visible symbols so citizens recognize themselves in the country's image. While not all affiliations hold equal importance, all deserve recognition. The more someone identifies with a broader entity, the more they develop kinship with all its components. I dream of a world where everyone finds their identity's language while connecting to humanity's shared adventure, where our complex identities become bridges of understanding rather than weapons of division.